to the Paul McGuire Report, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California, Southern California, on the West Coast. No, I'm not one of these people who embrace trendy words like bi-coastal, the idea being that you know, hop back and forth on a private jet between the East Coast, the Hamptons, Manhattan, and Hollywood, Beverly Hills, that area, Orange County, Laguna Beach. And a lot of people do that. They hop. A lot of people in what we would call elite classes hop back and forth from like Southern California, San Francisco, and then they go to Washington, D.C., or they go to the hub of business enterprise, the hub of the monetary system and the news media and many other corporations in America, which of course is, of course, it's New York City, it's the Big Apple, it's Manhattan. So it just happens to be through a series of coincidences, but I don't really believe in coincidences, and I don't think you do either. So let's just say for now, through a series of coincidences, the Lord arranged my life to hop back and forth between two primary geographic areas. And I'm not saying this for the agenda to brag, but simply to say that when you put your hand in the hands of the Lord, when you give over your inner man or inner woman to Jesus Christ, and you invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, he takes control of every facet of your life. And he thinks on a far higher level than you do and than I do. He thinks on a far higher level. I had no idea when I was raised in Jackson Heights, Queens. I've shared this with you. Intellectual home, atheists, highly creative people, a lot of movers and shakers moved through my parents. Their friendships, some of those friendships are with people whose names are household names for their prominence in certain fields. But everybody in my neighborhood, the foundation was we were all essentially middle class. Middle class, some higher up on the middle class totem pole than others, or working middle class or whatever. But everybody shared these things. People worked, they studied, they had a very strong work ethic, and they had a very strong knowledge and book reading ethic. And I can't tell you how many times it bears repeating that just about every psychologist, learning psychologist, will tell you that the most powerful and the fastest way to learn anything is through a book. Because you see, when you read a book, unlike playing the video or internet, when you read a book, you're reading the pages, so you're saying it to yourself out loud, you're seeing the words on the pages visually, you're understanding the concept. So by reading a book, you're speaking it, you're hearing it through your ears, you're seeing it through your eyes, you're involving a multiplicity of senses. Now, just take a breath for a moment. Do you think that the infinite, personal, loving God of the universe, do you think that the supreme being, the infinite, personal, loving God of the universe, do you think that when he created mankind and the Garden of Eden and so on and so forth, do you think he just did it in a haphazard way where everything just kind of like fumbled together by accident? Of course not. Of course not. God deliberately set the stage in a proactive manner. And God chose, of all the media that God could have chosen, God wasn't limited to like pre-electricity, post-electricity days. God had access to all kinds of media. God knew the end from the beginning. And so God, when he wanted to communicate his deep truths to mankind, God chose, above all media, to use the spoken word, to use the written word. And so God, first and foremost, communicates to mankind, communicates to Adam and Eve through a book that consists of words and letters that mean something. And people read the pages of the book out loud, and it becomes a multi-dimensional learning process, which is just the most comprehensive learning process there is. So God wants to teach mankind. God wants to teach scientists, politicians, philosophers, theologians. God wants to teach everybody about himself, about his laws, about his world. That's God's goal. Another way of saying that is God said, make disciples of all nations. How do you make a disciple of all nations? It's relatively easy. When you make a disciple of all nations, you are training and teaching and educating all of the people that want to be disciples. You're training them up in, for lack of better words, the art of discipleship. And that's why Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to make a disciple of all nations? It means to pick up your cross and follow Jesus and really understand what his word is saying on every level of life. And the written form, the book form, is the most effective. So we see mankind, God communicating to mankind through the written word. So when we read the book of Genesis, it says over and over again, it says, in the beginning was the word. And it says it over and over again, in the beginning was the word. And then we see how God creates men and women and mankind and planet Earth and everything in this physical world and spiritual world. It's created by God. So in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God spoke all this into existence, okay? And then later on, it's printed, or it's for thousands of years, the ancient Jewish scribes would take a papyrus, which was a primitive form of paper, and a pen, like a quill pen type of instrument. And the Jewish scribes would meticulously copy letter after letter, word after word, and there would be all these checks and balances and all these definitions, etc. And so we see that God creates the world according to his laws. In Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to the likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and so on and so forth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, both male and female. And then it says in verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So what we learn here from God is God has a biblical worldview, biblical mindset. And notice that the way God thinks is in utter contradiction to the way man thinks. So for example, mankind has a limited amount of resources, sustainable development running out, a limited amount of food, a limited amount of opportunity, and it's all based on this philosophical idea of sustainable development, that we can grow as a human species, we can build this heaven-like new world order, and this all comes from the philosophy of a particular man. Let's say this again. We're going to say it a lot when you listen to the Paul McGuire Report. Because the goal of the Paul McGuire Report is to get you up to speed. And I'm very, very serious in what I'm saying. And I'm being very intentional in what I'm saying. If you read the Bible even casually, it literally jumps up and shouts at you, because many people are asleep, about what God wants to do in your life. And you have a choice. When God speaks to you, you can get up to speed and you can follow the Lord and renew your mind with the word of God, or you can rebel from God and rebel from his word and reject God's word and refuse to grow. That's basically the two different directions men and women choose to, the paths they choose to go down. So here's the critical thing. In the beginning, God creates the heaven and earth. One of the primary things he commands of his people, Adam and Eve, men and women, he says to them, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, it's not good enough in God's eye for you to just sit there or be busy with that or be busy with that or whatever you happen to be busy with. That's not enough. God wants you to specifically to be fruitful and multiply. So you start with the basics, because that's how God started with the basics. In the Bible, the basics, when God says be fruitful and multiply, what God means with that term, going right back to the basis, to the original basis, what God means by that term, precisely, be fruitful and multiply, is that it's God's commandment and expectation that men and women should have sexual relationships within a married relationship, and that they should reproduce as many offspring or children as they possibly can. What you say, well, how can you be so preposterous to say that? Because that is the blueprint of the Bible, for crying out loud. You'd have to be a deaf, dumb, mute dog left out at the railroad tracks, and I feel sorry for a dog like that, but left out at the railroad tracks to miss this jugular vein message from God coming down the tracks, where God tells mankind, men and women, be fruitful and multiply. What God is saying is have a sexual relationship. He's saying to men, have a sexual relationship with a woman within the covenant, the holy covenant of marriage. And from the holy covenant or contract of marriage, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, marry the woman. The woman is to marry the man in covenant relationship. Then you're to do what the Bible has been telling men and women to do since the very beginning. It's really an irony that mankind, which pretends this great pseudo-sophistication and this great pompousness when it comes to man's alleged sophistication regarding human sexuality. Man loves to, in his pride or her pride, strut around like that man knows everything there is to know about human sexuality, and God knows zip. That's not true at all. God says, be fruitful and multiply. So that means, at its foundational content, men and women are to mate. They are to procreate. They are to have sexual intercourse. And it's God's highest design that sexual intercourse only is to occur within a marriage relationship based on fidelity and commitment. And then the idea from the beginning was never to have just like one child or two children or a boy and a girl or three or four. That notion of this itsy bitsy teeny weeny, you know, be fruitful and multiply thing is horrific in the eyes of God. That is not what God meant at all. God meant by that statement, be fruitful and multiply, is that God, notice that everything God creates, unlike everything man creates, notice that everything that God creates, God says that it's good. And notice that everything God creates, God says that we are to be fruitful and multiply. Just notice that. God is giving us a really big clue into what he's all about. So, to be fruitful and multiply, that means, and this should not bother anybody, by the way, what I'm about to say, but I will give a disclaimer. Since I'm going to talk biblically, based on a biblical worldview, but I'm going to get to the point, I want to ask you that if you have somebody in the car of a younger age, or there's people listening to me talk right now that perhaps you're a parent and don't feel as a parent that you would like your child exposed to information that may not be appropriate for their age category. And guess what? I salute you in that decision, because that is your choice to make, your choice alone. God created the institution of marriage, the institution of the family, and it is the mother's job and the father's job, and it's the mother's authority and the father's authority to rule and manage their household and make the decisions, the moral, spiritual decisions for their children and their family. And that is a good thing and a blessed thing. Okay, so we read that man is created in the image of God. In the image of God, he created them both male and female. And notice again in verse 26 that God said, let us make man in the image, in our image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the cattle, all and all the earth. And this is a primary mission for mankind. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them both male and female. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And then it talks about the darkness that divides the earth and the heavens. Okay, so what is God saying? God is saying is that his primary mandate for mankind is, first of all, God desires an intense multi-level relationship. And God expresses that through his creation, Adam and Eve. God chooses to have an intense, fruitful relationship on the basis of truth, on the basis of loyalty, on the basis of love, on the basis of the love of Jesus Christ, on the basis of the agape love or the Christ-like love of Jesus Christ. And then we must always remember this as we study the scripture, that God is love. God is love. And we have to fully understand that God is love, because that's the only way we can understand God telling mankind to be fruitful and multiply. We have God, who's the supreme being, telling his supreme creation, Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Why? For the purpose of love. God wants planet Earth and the Garden of Eden, which is paradise, to be packed with perhaps hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, to live in harmony, joy, true utopia, true paradise, true heavenly beauty. Because God is designing everything, not giving it to man to turn it into a nightmare. So because God is love, it's his greatest desire to have pure, loving relationships with his crown of creation, men and women. God desires to have deep, intimate, pure, holy friendship with men and women. And when it comes to a biological man and a biological woman, it's the will of God out of agape love, the agape love of Jesus Christ. It's the will of God for man to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And so that heaven will be the most incredibly awesome, loving, creative world, populated by what appears to be an infinite number of people who are all joyously united. It's phenomenal. And so when we look ahead in the book of Revelation and we remember that God is love, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no imagination has ever comprehended the joy, the wonder, the creativity, the beauty of heaven. Heaven will be like the Garden of Eden multiplied by 10,000. Heaven will consist of a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. There will be no sun in heaven for light. There will be no need of sun to produce light in heaven, because the Lord himself will light up the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. In fact, the glory of God, God's glory himself will radiate with such an absolutely marvelous, creative infusion of his glory that it's not only beautiful in design, it's spiritually pure and holy and perfect. And God designs this perfect world for mankind, for you and for me. And there's never an inkling of fear in God's mind and heart when he tells mankind to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Man and woman within a marriage relationship should feel released and blessed by God to enter into every aspect of the full spectrum marriage relationship that God created for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I really want to make sure this sails into port and sails home with the cargo, which is the knowledge and the wisdom here. God created man and woman in the beginning to live in the Garden of Eden, which was paradise, forever, eternal life. Then God tells them to be fruitful and multiply. Then God continues to tell them to be fruitful and multiply. And then God describes in Revelation and other places in the New Testament, and God describes in other places in the Old Testament, in the Bible, recorded by God, recorded by the Holy Spirit, there are these incredible, mind-blowing, creative, awesome depictions of a landscape that is beautiful beyond beautiful. Flowers, trees, waterfalls, people in spiritual love and their relationships, total harmony and safety. And God will rule and reign planet Earth from the newly created capital of planet Earth, which is known as the New Jerusalem, with new heaven, the new earth. God will rule and reign both the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension. So picture this, okay? Use your God-given imagination. The Christian art on this is abysmal. What is it with creativity and art and the abysmal quality? I'm not being this to, saying this to be cute, clever, and that's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'll tell you exactly why I'm doing this. How's that? That's better than any potential norm. I'll tell you exactly why I am talking about this at this moment with such a vigor and a passion. And I'll tell you why. Once again, as has happened endlessly in my life and my wife Chris's life, my wife Chris, who is an artist, she was an actress, she has been my wife for over 40 years, she's a partner in this ministry. And Chris and I, from the day we met each other, she was a Christian actress who flew in from like a Midwest type of city and state to be an actress in Manhattan to star on Broadway theater shows. And she chose Broadway theater shows because it was her hope that they would have a higher degree of moral content than the sex and violence and degeneracy that was all over many of the plays, many of the episodics and TV, et cetera, which were just open sewers of filth and pornography. Now, you may think my wife is naive. She's not naive. I don't think anybody listening to me is naive. Certainly not naive. She's a very intelligent woman. But here's what I want to share in a specific nature, because it's something I encounter on a regular basis. This is something, what I'm sharing with you now is something that it's a challenge, a spiritual battle that I have to counter on a regular basis. I have to engage in spiritual warfare revolving around this template of issues, apparently over and over and over again, because I believe that it's not just Paul McGuire stumbling around incoherently in the dark trying to make some order out of chaos, no pun intended, but that Paul McGuire, by the grace of God, grace meaning unmerited favor, by God's grace, early in my life, I stumbled into, by divine coincidence, I stumbled into a portal, a kind of stargate, intellectual, spiritual stargate, if you will. I stumbled into it. And what that did is that experience enhanced my perception on a quantum level. and allowed me to download with a very high degree of acceleration. It allowed me to download knowledge, wisdom, creativity, perception, vision, art, and many, many other related endeavors. And for me, when all of this came together, it was like collecting fissionable, I think the word in physics, and correct me if I'm wrong, fissionable, I'm not saying it right, fissionable, in nuclear fission or nuclear fusion. Both of those technologies set up nuclear material to be detonated in an atomic bomb. Now, when you harness, physics teaches us that when we harness or gather or accumulate subatomic particles, microscopic particles that are microscopic, submolecular, but they contain such a unspeakably high charge of energy that when these subatomic particles bounce up against other subatomic particles, it can cause a nuclear reaction to detonate. And you see the results of that. You'll see that giant mushroom cloud in the sky. You'll see an atomic bomb going off or a nuclear bomb going off. You've seen them go off in the early bomb tests by the military, U.S. military in Arizona, etc. This was all part of our atomic weapons program. Because remember, when we go back into U.S. history, when we go back to the 40s, Adolf Hitler, who was deeply involved in the occult and occult science and technology, Adolf Hitler assembled a crack team of some of the world's most evil, super genius scientists. He assembled a team of Nazi rocket scientists. He assembled a team of Nazi mind control scientists. And he assembled a team of Nazi biological warfare pandemic scientists. Because Adolf Hitler was not your traditional dictator or totalitarian. Adolf Hitler believed that he governed the Nazi Party, the German people. He governed them with the help of demonic fallen angels, with the help of super intelligence pulled in from another dimension, and by utilizing occult, atomic energy and knowledge and principles, Hitler was able to jumpstart his nuclear program, his rocket program, his alien program, his mind control program, all kinds of production, all kinds of science fiction type military weapons were built. And then when World War II came to an end, what Hitler did, along with Nazi rocket science scientists, Hitler gathered together huge number, 10,000 Nazi rocket scientists, which included Nazi mind control scientists, which included Nazi biological warfare, pandemic chemical warfare, Nazi scientists. And he gave them all the money they needed, all the laboratory space they needed, and they ran a crash course program. It was a mad dash. It was a mad race to build. It was called the Manhattan Project. And the presiding scientist over the Manhattan Project was Dr. Robert J. Oppenheimer. Now, you've got to remember, for young Paul McGuire, these names may not mean something to you, it may mean something to some of you, but these names that I'm tossing out of all these Nazi scientists, these were my childhood heroes when I was a kid. I read all their biographies, like Robert Oppenheimer, like 5 or 6 biographies. I read all their biographies at the public library. I read their books on research and articles. I studied all about their lives. I studied about the competitive race between the Nazi rocket scientists and the American NASA had not yet taken off, the NASA scientists. And what I learned was that the more you studied the Nazi rocket scientists and the Nazi biological warfare scientists, the more you studied them, the more you came to the conclusion that they appeared to have some kind of interdimensional help that was traveling into the Earth through a portal or through a stargate or a dimensional tunnel. And so through physics, through quantum physics, through string theory, through scientific formulas and mathematics and advanced technology, both the U.S. and the Nazis detonated atomic bombs that blew up with gigantic mushroom clouds in the desert states of the United States of America. This was all happening simultaneously, by the way. It's very interesting because I have a chart in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, where you can get a book bundle discount. I spent quite a lot of time writing quite a number of books where I began to realize, or I more appropriately should say, the Lord began to show me, I believe, supernaturally. God honored my research, and he began to show me the importance of the year 1947 and 1948 in the plan of God for America and the world and in Bible prophecy. So we have the most important super sign of all that occurred on 1948, and that is the rebirth of the modern nation of Israel, which happened on 1948, okay, where after over 2,000 years of being sold into slavery, being sold into captivity, being slaves and servants of the Nazis, being burned alive in Nazi concentration camps and Nazi ovens, etc. These horrific experiments that were conducted on young children, young women, young girls, men, innocent people, they were subjected to horrific and sadistic and cruel scientific experimentation that is evil beyond evil. So then secretly, the Russians and the U.S. were competing to take the best and the brightest of the Nazi rocket scientists and smuggle those Nazi rocket scientists into both Russia and the United States of America so that they could be ahead in terms of military science. So they had a secret government program with the help of the CIA. I talk all about this in my book, Prophecy, Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, Mass Awakening, Conquering the Matrix, and The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I talk all about this stuff. I did an enormous amount of research. Much of the research I did was groundbreaking in that nobody else at that time had opened up the doors and the windows that I opened and was able to get solid documentation to prove that my claims were true. So the Nazis had a huge jump on the U.S. because of all the Nazi scientists working, military working, their Air Force working in their nuclear program, their rocketry program, their chemical program, their mind control program. They were really ahead of us. Wernher von Braun, the famous Nazi rocket scientist, was smuggled into the U.S. with the help of Hitler. And he basically helped build NASA. A Nazi rocket scientist built NASA for the U.S. and gave us a competitive lead against the Nazi rocket scientists. Mind control scientists. It was the Nazi mind control scientists who came up with what was known as MK Ultra, where they used the formula drugs, trauma, hypnosis, or shock, drugs, trauma, hypnosis, or LSD. And they would blow the minds of their experimentees and brainwash them to believe just about anything they wanted. And they could turn them into Manchurian candidates. They could turn them into programmed assassins, programmed sex spies of all kinds. You have to understand that it wasn't just the United States of America. But you have to understand the real nature of the reality that we live in. You can't go around understanding a microscopic fraction of our reality and to pretend to know what you're talking about. It just doesn't work. So here's how it plays out. Going back to ancient Babylon, where Mystery Babylon rose to power, which was the first New World Order, and there was the, what I call the Pharaoh God-King system with the Pharaoh and his wife ruling Egypt like god kings and god queens, and where a scientific elite, an occult elite, or a technological elite would rule the masses, the middle class, the working class, the masses, because they ruled them because they had superior technological power, mind control power, hypnotic power, brainwashing power, all kinds of technology, drugs, microchip implants, a whole spectrum of very advanced control technology. So during, under Operation Paperclap, that you can go ahead and laugh, because I'm not going to sit in the studio and erase it. But just think of it as one of life's little absurdities. So the bottom line is that we won the space race with Nazi rocket scientists' help. We won the Manhattan Project under Oppenheimer. We beat every other nation in the race to build an atomic bomb. You saw them. I saw them. I was reading this when I was a kid. I had all the books, the biographies, the photographs at the public library. And I believe it was in New Mexico. The reason I get confused is because the Area 51, the Roswell, New Mexico experiments, were always colliding in with the JPL experiments and the Nazi rocket scientists experiments. And I uncovered this decades before many other researchers did, and a bunch of Hollywood screenwriters got a hold of some of my books and they fictionalized it in popular episodic TV shows like one is called Strange Something. Two very esoteric, like Twilight Zone type of episodic TV shows. And I'm convinced that the writers of those shows had read my books, Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, Mass Awakening, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World, and numerous other titles of my books, because I uncovered all these secret networks and relationships between the occult, the Nazi rocket scientists, what was happening in America, the world. And at that time, there were no other prominent Christian writers, to my knowledge, writing on that subject. There may have been one. So these TV shows, your average high school kid or college person or whatever knows now the stuff that I wrote about in my books because Hollywood has publicized it. So let me just connect some dots here, because you got to know what happened. It's important. So Roswell, New Mexico, allegedly a UFO crashes there. And allegedly they recover the body of, they say it's a alien, but I would think it was really a Nephilim, not an alien. And we also had JPL in Pasadena, which I visited the grounds there many times doing research. And a chief scientist for JPL was also the head of Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist, satanic society that was headquartered in Pasadena, California, in the same area that JPL, the Propulsion Laboratory, was created. Now, this guy had heavy-duty respect from Wernher von Braun, Nazi rocket scientists. He was also deeply, deeply involved in Satanism, the occult, satanic rituals. He was performing satanic rituals with Aleister Crowley. And then, I don't talk about the methodology of this very much, but the way I do research is different than the way most people do research. I start with an idea. That's no big deal. People start with an idea, a hunch, feeling in their gut, some initial scientific proof, and then they go after further experimentation. But there have been so many instances in my life where I have literally walked through the equivalent of a portal or a stargate in terms of my research, and I will feel led, if you will, or prompted to go down a particular rabbit hole, like in Alice in Wonderland. And I will become obsessed with researching a historical individual, like a philosopher or a scientist or whatever. But I will have no idea to the full extent why I have such an overwhelming interest in a particular scientist. It's because it hasn't been revealed to me. All I'm doing is I'm traveling in the dark, pursuing answers to what are, in a sense, riddles, because this information, this science, this activity has been concealed. And, you know, for anybody who thinks researching and reading books is boring, I gotta say something. You're flat out crazy. Researching intensive stuff is like sitting in one of those rides in the California Adventure or Disney World with strap you in, and you just like lose gravity pressed up against this thing going who knows how fast miles per hour. And it's just a life-changing experience. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Because you see, until you understand that our world in America, the world ruled by globalist elite today, our world, and I'm talking about the economic sector, talking about the computer sector, our world is very much like the back of your U.S. dollar bill. Okay, so if you took one out, you would see on the back of a U.S. $1 bill, on the left-hand side, you would see a pyramid. Okay, study the pyramid, you do some research on the pyramid, and you see that towards the top of the pyramid, there's the all-seeing eye of Horus or Lucifer. And that the pyramid structure is a hierarchical structure that designates hierarchical cult power. And then at the base of the pyramid, written in Latin, are the words Nuvos Order Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages or New World Order. So this is what you must grasp. If you're going to punch through the artificial ceiling in your human consciousness, which is keeping you in prison, if you're to punch through the artificial human consciousness, which functions as an artificial ceiling, designed to suppress your expansion and growth of knowledge, power, and answers and truth. Somebody has invested a lot of time, money, and power over thousands of years. Somebody or some entity has developed a lot of power and money to keep the consciousness of the ordinary person, male or female, on planet Earth. They want you to be dumbed down, so they suppress consciousness through technological means, by organizational structure means, by the learning structure means, by the chemicals that are in food, by the GMOs, by electromagnetic frequencies, and an entire array of sophisticated technology is employed on various sectors of the human race to keep man enslaved, keep man dumbed down, which is the opposite of what God had in mind for you. God said what he had in mind for you when he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So let me read you something that the Lord was leading me to get to this truth. And I've written about it in many books, and it's been spun off for episodic TV shows, sci-fi movies, horror movies, all kinds of productions and movies, etc., have played out these secret occult stories that I was able to uncover through a lifetime of research. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and download and watch all our free prophetic emergency alerts, our Paradise Mountain Bible prophecy teachings that I give, and download messages, the interviews. Check out all the books we have for you available at bulk discounts by simply going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. And who knows where you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report from? Maybe somewhere in the USA or the Americas, maybe the continent of Asia or the European Union or any number of places on planet Earth. and in all kinds of time zones. I want to read you something in a book I wrote. You need to get these books in book bundles. You get two at a significant financial discount by going to paulmcguire.us. And make sure you get yourself a copy of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You know, when I facetiously say these books will blow your mind, I'm serious, they will blow your mind. They will blow your mind out of the template or grid of stupidity and allow your mind to reassemble itself as the powerful vehicle, the mind of Christ, that God gave you as part of being joint heir with Jesus Christ after you're born again. Now, I want to read something here, because this is charged stuff, man. This goes back to research I started doing 30 or 40 years ago. So in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, I have a chapter that begins, The Illuminati Scientific Elite Plan for Destroying the Earth. And then I quote the Greek philosopher Plato, who was convinced that Atlantis existed as a super civilization and that Atlantis was ruled by 12 god or 12 elite men. Or 12 philosopher kings. Now, it is not an accident that people like George Soros and members of the what I call the occult elite today, it's not an accident that they use this same template for governance of their new world order. They believe in ruling the world by a tiny handful of occult elite, known as the philosopher kings, the god men, a tiny minority, usually 12 people, 13 people, will rule through a pyramid type structure the entire world. And so Plato taught many people in Europe about this. And so this method of global government being established, Plato helped facilitate that. And he helped, Plato through his writings, caused many intellectuals and philosophers and leaders and occultists in Europe to create global governments all over the world ruled by philosopher kings. So by the time we get to the 1800s and the early 1920s, you had a secret New World Order group called the Fabian Socialists. A, their job was to bring in a socialist government, a godless socialist government. But B, their job was to bring in an occultic, a supernatural, a demonically energized and inspired occult government. See, they practice this great masquerade ball. That's why there's so many pictures of the Illuminati, you know, dressed very, you know, expensively, and they attend these lavish parties in these gigantic mansions. And they're referred to as Illuminati balls, where the rich and the elite and powerful meet for orgies and occult practices and so on and so forth. But you see, a lot of these elite, like H.G. Wells, the great science fiction writer, Bertrand Russell, the mathematician, head of the New World Order, and many other elite intellectuals, writers, and novelists. They were all shaped in their viewpoints by Plato and his super civilization called Atlantis. Also, H.G. Wells wrote a whole bunch of science fiction books, and H.G. Wells wrote a whole bunch of books outlining the details of how to implement a new world order. And finally, H.G. Wells was the highly trained head of British intelligence during World War I. And H.G. Wells, the genius science fiction writer, personally discipled the two brothers. He discipled Brave New World. The author Aldous Huxley was discipled by H.G. Wells. And H.G. Wells also discipled Julian Huxley, who was the head of the global educational arm and filmmaking art arm of the United Nations. But both of these Huxley brothers were mentored personally by the occult elite. And these occult elite are right now, as we speak, you know, they masquerade, they pretend to be these benevolent, caring people, but they have a dark, dark agenda. And you need to know what it is. The only way you can find out what it is to start reading books and stop, you know, focusing all your attention to moronic activities, which are designed by the elite to assassinate your mind. I mean that in a philosophical sense, by the way. So in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, I have subtitled chapters like The Plan for a Global Dictatorship. And I wrote this book, let's just see, Plan for a Global Dictatorship, Prophecy of the Future of America. That came out in 2013. Other books came out earlier than that, decades earlier. And so, The Plan for a Global Dictatorship. And they do have, they call it The Plan, by the way. And there really is, you know, these are, you're not, you haven't been duped. You're not stupid. You're not brainwashed if you know that these things exist. On the contrary, you're educated. You're well-read. Now, the elite group, like the Fabian Socialists and H.G. Wells, they came out of the philosophy of Charles Darwin, that the human race arrived here through random chance and accident, and the fittest will survive, and everybody else dies. It's the law of the Darwinian jungle. This elite group, by the way, that I'm reading to you about is alive today. And this elite group, in their private parties, aboard their private yachts and private jets, they use the term on you and me and the middle class and the working class. All the rest of us, we are, quote, just, quote, useless eaters, which the elite still use today to categorize the masses of people, including the middle class. And H.G. Wells got many of his ideas from the Illuminati, Freemasonry, Francis Bacon's writings in the New Atlantis, H.G. Wells, who wrote out his plans for a new world order in his book, The Open Conspiracy, and Madame Blavatsky, wrote a book called Externalization of the Hierarchy. And it's all about the secret occultic game plan that runs the United Nations. And this occult hierarchy and this game plan is known simply as The Plan. And so I write a chapter, The Plan for a Global Dictatorship. And that's what you're seeing play out right in front of your face. And so when you see terms used by the news media, terms as American chaos, all they're doing is they're revealing to you a little smidgen of the occult plan, because their plan is based on an ancient occult principle known as order out of chaos. So you can create any revolutionary, occultic, or transformational change by inciting chaos, creating chaos, and then creating a new world order out of the chaos. It's a simple occult mathematical equation. And I talk about it in many of my books because you can't understand, for example, there's no way on earth that you could be a politician, an economist, a researcher, a pastor, or any kind of person. There is no way whatsoever you could even have the most minimal understanding of what happened in the U.S. and around the world during the last 2 years. It is absolutely impossible for you to understand what happened in America and around the world during the last 2 years unless you understand the occultic doctrine and formula of order out of chaos. You've got to know it. You can't be just like your typical Christian doofus. I don't mean to be kind, but the world has no respect for dumbed-down Christians. They really don't. They'll have no respect for you. You will not be able to lead them to Christ as their Lord and Savior. Okay, so we see that George Orwell was involved in this stuff. Aldous Huxley was involved in this stuff. H.G. Wells was involved in the global order. And Mystery Babylon. The return of Mystery Babylon and the return and the rise of a scientific dictatorship all is connected to H.G. Wells and Babylon at the time of the ancient Tower of Babel. And make no mistake about it, this ancient occult system called the Plan, okay, it from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, it involved eugenics, science of eugenics. The science of eugenics is the science of breeding men and women to be like champion racehorses. The idea is you use an occult principle and you breed specific DNA in men and women, so that you genetically are intending to and planning to breed a master race. That's what Hitler was doing. Hitler wasn't just, you know, twiddling his thumbs. He was genetically manipulating the DNA code of the master race to become a race of Superman or Superwoman. And he incorporated the teachings of the German philosopher Nietzsche in his Ubermensch or Superman or Superwoman program, and they're still at that today. Why do you think we have all this emphasis on DNA right now? This has been going on for 50, 60, 70 years. In fact, the explosion of interest in DNA research began in World War I. It began before World War I. It began with Darwin's theory of evolution. Okay, so where does this take us? Where this takes us is that I've been writing, for example, in 2012, I'm reading to you from my book, Prophecy of the Future of America. And I have chapters in here. This came out in 2012, where I'm talking about, I'm looking right at it, deliberately orchestrated race wars. But you see, I wrote about it in 2012, 2013. I didn't say I have a prophecy, okay, which did or didn't happen. Today, I specifically talk in detail based on extensive sociological research, spiritual research. I have a chapter entitled Deliberately Orchestrated Race Wars, Paul McGuire, April 17th, 2012. And I continue to talk about order out of chaos and how Marxist revolutionaries will use a manufactured crisis in the United States to bring down the house, to cause a Marxist socialist revolution to happen in America. And that all you need, let me just read you what I wrote. You need to read this stuff, man, and become armed and dangerous, not in some nutty, wacko, militant sense, but armed and danger in the philosophical and spiritual sense. Let me just read to you from my book, the research I did, because it'll give you a glimpse into to just what degree and how high a level that these people are now operating on. So let me read this to you. Using sophisticated technology of the internet and the media, a transformational mechanism called cognitive infiltration can be used to literally manufacture racial and ethnic hatred in order to produce mass racial violence, inner city race wars, and intense racial conflict. The Cloward Piven strategy, developed by two Columbia University professors, is to create manufactured crisis through overwhelming the system. All that is needed is to seed and develop the mass consciousness of the American public with a constant stream of racial injustices targeted at every major ethnic and racial group. In this kind of psyops war, every racial group will experience an intense level of wrongful prejudicial treatment from other racial and ethnic groups and authorities. The unresolved anger and hatred is systemically, I'm writing about systemic racism before all the liberals are in my books, is systemically built up in the minds of tens of millions of people until a specific incident and series of incidents provoke a flashpoint. The social media and the old media are stepping on the accelerator by continually depicting inflammatory racial incidents and supposed racial injustices. The planned result will be a social explosion of riots, violence, looting, and killing. The crisis is ignited to deliberately create a situation, and I'll stop from there. You see, all of this stuff is predictable. It's predictable. And God does not want his people. And I get even deeper in this book and need to get it with the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. We need to understand how the prophecies of Jesus Christ, like the signs of the times, when he talks about there'll be wars and rumors of wars, the actual translation of those words from Jesus mean that there's going to be ethnic wars or racial wars or race wars. That's what it means. But if you dig even deeper, it's just not spontaneous, accidental race wars. It's psyop plan. It's psychological warfare plan. So what does that really mean? Well, when you read my book, Conquering the Matrix, you'll understand that they call it psychological warfare and psyops, but in reality, it's connected to the technology of ancient sorcery that began at the time of the Tower of Babel. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, and spread this message far and wide. We are literally, no exaggeration, you know this as well as I do, we are literally in greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. The smarter you are, faster and more accurately you can think, your degree of accuracy in research and coming to conclusions should be, the data should put you in the winner's seat. You shouldn't be drooling out of the side of your mouth, copying somebody's prophecy that they had, which didn't come true. I, look, this needs to be said because it's like it's so many people are dancing around the white elephant, the black elephant, any color you want to call it. They're dancing around the elephant in the middle of the room. Here's the basic problem. You have hundreds of millions of Christians in the United States and across the world following, in some cases, not all cases, following people that would be distinguished as false prophets who have made false prophecies because their prophecies did not come true, but they're still following them as leaders. Now, I want to ask you a question directly, and I want to look in your eyes. What possible good could it do for a huge number of God's people to be following loyally all of these false prophets with their false prophecies about what's going to happen, but the reality is none of it did happen? They were all in the category of false prophets and false prophecies. We have a huge theological crisis in the body of Christ in America because we have been so lazy and so lacking discipline in adhering to the biblical standards of Bible prophecy and what is a prophet and what a prophet is not, because we have been so sloppy in the way we are supposed to rightly divide the Word of God, that the enemies of spiritual darkness have been defeating us and overturning us. That's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. God has, I want to say this to you as directly as I can, straight from the heart. God has an enormous plan for the United States of America, other nations in the world. God has a prophetic plan for your life and many people you know. That's a cause for rejoicing and hope. But if God's people are going to consistently reject the Word of God, if God's people are going to disobey the rules of scriptural interpretation, if God's people are going to rebel from what God is telling them to do, then none of these promises that I've just outlined to you are going to happen. None of them are going to happen. Why? Because all of these promises from God's Word are predicated on our willingness to rightly divide God's Word and to be accurate about it. When you read Deuteronomy 28, and the Pilgrims and Puritans certainly do this, you interpret those verses accurately. If you don't, you're sentenced to death according to the Old Testament law. And when that happens, when you read Deuteronomy 28, you will not only not receive the blessings, you will have triggered the curses to come upon you, your life, and your nation. And that's not what God wants. God has a plan for this America, for this nation. God has a plan for you. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Get familiar with all the new social media outlets and podcasts and video broadcasting that we're now on. Copy and paste it. Know where it is. Be proactive. Don't wait. Don't wait till mysteriously nobody's there on the internet. Why would you wait until after the fact? Be proactive. That's how you win. That's how you win. We're not trivializing this. This is not a sports game. This is a battle between good and evil. And in a battle between good and evil, can I ask you a humble question? What is the practical result of what actually happens to people, a nation, and society when evil openly wins spiritual battles in that nation? But you know what happens. That nation becomes a horror show, an absolute nightmare. That is not what God wants. So we need to get on with God's program. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.